Hey, this is Tommy Dreamer. Shut up.
All sweat and shit.
You're listening to Shoot the Shit podcast.
Enjoy.
What's going on?
This is Eric Yaman. You're watching Shoot the Shit.
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network. Found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
All right. And we are live right here from the Shoot and Shit Studios in Philly, Chicago, right?
Where exactly is that? How far is that away from like parts unknown?
It's literally close. Up your ass and around the corner.
It's a triangle. It's a triangle, Dennis.
Triangle.
Gentlemen, this is our official post-Royal Rumble Fallout episode. We're going to get into a lot of things tonight. Well, not too much, but a good amount of things. We might actually let Joe pop off at a troll that we had on TikTok. Follow us on TikTok if you're not doing it yet, at Shootin', S-H-T-N. S-H-O-O-T-N shit S-H-T.
Watch the little thing video after the credits roll and stuff. It has all our social media info there.
Yeah, it'll be there. Give us a good follow. Watch a couple of them. You can see some of our interactions with this dude that we tore up during the live stream.
Yeah, that was fun.
We might get into it tonight. We've got a little bit of CM Punk news also to hit. So, DDJ, before we start, do you want to try a joke again?
Actually, yes, I do.
Go ahead.
So the other day, I was at a park, and I saw this person throw a frisbee. And I sat there and wondered, as this frisbee was getting closer to me, why was it getting bigger? And then it hit me.
I hate myself for laughing at that.
I think I'm going to quit the show. I think it's time for me to go.
On that note, let's start the show.
Don't go there yet. Jeez Louise, don't leave Joe. I can't be left with him by myself.
Oh, fuck you.
I feel like we need a joke redemption. I don't want to start on that joke. So this guy goes into a bar and he's about to smoke a cigarette. And he asks the bartender, he said, "Hey man, you got a light?" Bartender pulls out his lighter, gives it to the guy. And guy's like, "Jesus Christ, this is fucking huge ass big lighter. Where the fuck did you get this lighter from?" Bartender said, "Oh man, you know, there's this lamp outside. If you rub it, a genie will come out and give you whatever you want." The guy said, "No shit." And he says, "Yeah, it's only one wish." So the guy gets up and goes outside and sees the lamp. He's like, "Oh my God, he's not lying." Rubs the lamp and the genie comes out. And the genie says, "You have one wish." And the guy goes, "Okay, I want $1 million." Well, out of nowhere, a million ducks starts going over there and pelting this dude. And he has to run back into the bar to save himself. And he, pissed off, covered in fucking duck feathers, looks at the bartender and goes, "Man, you could have told me that the genie can't hear for shit." And the bartender said, "You thought I asked for a 12-inch Bic?"
That was good. That was definitely good.
There we go.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. 12-inch Bic. Never mind. I don't want to get deep into that one. Ladies and gentlemen. This is the post Rumble show, meaning we're going to go into the show thinking that you know the basics. Cody Rhodes repeated as the winner of the Rumble. Apparently CM Punk is injured, forearm injury, which Drew, you know, McIntyre expertly trolled with his today we work out arms segment.
Oh my God, that was Drew's just killed it. And there was a I think I saw there was a meme or the picture with the set the tombstone and the guy doing like the point or something that Drew superimposed his face on it.
Yep. Dude, I'm telling you, that gave me a feeling like this is what was missing from the Attitude Era. If there was social media like this during the Attitude Era, oh Jesus.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine The Rock in 1999 on fucking like 1999 Rock on social media just literally destroying everyone?
Ending people's careers on a message.
I think the fucking world is lucky that social media didn't exist at that point to where, you know, guys would have just got their feelings hurt all the time. Yeah, you have to understand the construct of social media. I mean, we're what, you know, 20 years into it now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's 20 years of learning how to accept context and things, you know, but just, I mean, just imagine, you know, 1999, absolute infancy, and somebody like a character like The Rock on any platform, just annihilating people who would have no idea how to really use it, no idea how to like set themselves up for anything. It would be absolute assault, and the crowds would fucking lose their mind. Oh, yeah. I'm not even a big Drew McIntyre fan, but that shit was hilarious.
Yes.
Dude. I mean, oh my God. Like, they went in for a guy that allegedly doesn't even have a contract. He was exactly really fucking going in on somebody who's going to be out 4 to 6 months. So, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was genius. I mean, absolutely. If this was what was discussed and what plans changed to, you know, with said injury and things like that, I don't think it could have pivoted any better coming out of an injury. Yeah. Because now it's a feud I want to see. Now it's like, okay, re-sign Drew, Punk comes back healthy, and now we have a big feud. It's going to be great. Like, I mean, it wrote itself.
One of the other things I really loved about that promo too was when he talked about, you know, it's like, oh, you know, the injury and how he felt sorry for him. And then it's like when he heard the news of what the injury was, it's like, yeah, I slept like a baby.
He freaking told him, I was praying for something like this. I prayed for this.
You know, and the other thing too is like, obviously, you know, nothing is in the WWE, especially nothing, everything is discussed ahead of time. Everything has kind of a purpose, and hey, this is what we're going to talk about. This is what we're going to do. But for guys like Drew, you know, obviously a guy like Randy can kind of, he's earned his place. He can say whatever he kind of wants now. He's in that spot. He can go out there and say, like, we're going to really push the envelope with whatever. But a guy like Drew, who, you know, I still don't feel or see as that level, getting to go out there and just be an absolute piece of shit.
Yeah.
On a weekly basis, like just being a complete piece of shit to whoever is in front of him. I'm loving that. I'm really loving this. This is the thing I hated about Drew McIntyre. I hate him as a babyface. I think he's a terrible baby face. I don't like, cause they tried to make him funny. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all right, guy, you're tall, you're muscular, you're funny. Save some pussy for the rest of us, bud. All right. Like, you know, with the accent sword. And shit. Yeah. Like the fucking sword gimmick, lame as shit. Like there's just so many downturns, but Drew McIntyre as a piece of shit heel. Cause like, see, that's where, you know, they tried to do with Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Nia Jax is real whiny the way she talks, and she's real typical female. Yeah, typical like fucking you know, glow fucking female heel, like from 1980 fucking five. Like, nobody gives a shit about that. If she's gonna look like a monster, be a fucking monster heel. And Drew being just an absolute piece of shit, but also being a monstrous human being, it works. It fucking works.
Yeah, he should have been doing something like this a while ago, man. I mean, I've been more interested in stuff that he's done recently than his whole return back, and that's including winning the Rumble and the title. I mean, for a guy who carried the company through the COVID era, it was boring. It was boring white meat babyface, but right now he's working off, you know, day by day, apparently is what they're saying. But that promo in the ring against Punk, the video with the, I prayed for this to happen about the injury, just this is the Drew that we need. I mean, where has he been keeping this side?
Yeah, and if this is what it takes to fucking re-sign him to a better deal, Jesus fucking Christ, do it already. Because if I get more of this, I'm interested.
Yep.
So let's hit that, because there's a couple of rumbles and wrestling rumors floating around. People think that the injury to Punk may not be as bad as it seems. A lot of that comes from the fact that he took the kick after that supposedly happened at the Rumble the next night on Monday. Do we think that the injury might not be kayfabe, but it may not be as serious as they're saying to keep him out till Rumble? Do we think maybe he does something between now and until Mania? Do we think that he's going to work his way into maybe a match at Mania, but not, I mean, the way they're pivoting, it may not be against Seth, but they might be building him up for something else.
But see, the thing is if, it, and I kind of go back to the Cody injury, you know, that when he, about a year and a half ago, when he tore his pec, you know, right before, I think it was either the night at before or the day of Hell in a Cell, when he was supposed to fight Rollins and he came out and still did it. I mean, if he's doing the, if he had the injury and stuff, I mean, he probably figured, much like with Cody, well, I mean, he can't be hurt any worse. So, yeah. I mean, he's just like, go out there and do it. So, I mean, there's always rumors about this kind of stuff and everything, you know what I mean? You don't know what's real, what's not, but that's a good thing, because, you know, it genuinely keeps us going. It keeps us surprised and stuff. But I would like to think, especially with the promo Punk cut before Drew came out, let's not forget about how good that was.
Yeah.
And because it was, and that felt real, and you could see the emotion on his face and stuff. I think the last time John Cena, when he tore his tricep back in 2013, he was out, what, May, after he had that match with Daniel Bryan. What was he out, like 3 months, 4 months?
Yeah.
Come on, that's different, though. That's John Cena.
That's
super John Cena. Fucking, like, physical fitness. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a much older Punk. Like,
true.
You can't compare that. The truth, though, is nobody knows this. Nobody knows the extent of his injury. That's the biggest problem. So it's the same way. Like, it very much depends what's torn, what's fucked up, what needs to get repaired. If it means, like, hey, and like Cody did, you have a torn pec, you can't fucking tear it anymore.
Yeah,
it's gonna be uncomfortable. It's gonna hurt, but you can't do any more damage. So fuck it, do the match, have it, you know, and then you have this one big memorable send off before you're out after surgery. Same thing with Punk, because now it's like, now it's put doubt in everybody's mind. And hey, look, could they be swerving everybody? Maybe they are. Maybe this is a bigger swerve to get the belt off Rollins, because Rollins is also hurt, as we all know, with his knee. So I think, like, honestly, it could be a bigger swerve. You know, you have Drew get the title off of Seth, and then we go to Mania, and it's Drew, and then Punk shows up. You know, the fastest rehab ever in 2 months, and now you have Punk Mania. Who knows? It could be like that, but honestly, I think it's one of those situations where you can't damage it anymore, so fuck it, do the bump.
Right.
Right. Yep.
You know, and just go that route. And now he's going to be out for a while, which really fucking puts a damper on Mania for me, because
I was about to say, you got tickets.
Was I fucking pumped about CM Punk at WrestleMania 40 in Philly?
Yes,
I was fucking thrilled. I mean, there's a good chance I'll still be there. In some
it could capacity. Still happen.
Yeah, give me the music, the pop. He comes out, does a little something at Mania. You know, non-match wise, disappointment. Okay. Absolute disappointment.
See, it's really killing you there.
Ugh.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, maybe there's a way he's better and we get that matchup with Drew if Drew takes the belt off of Seth, because I don't even know how long Seth's going to take to recover. I don't see a way that we get to Mania season and both of the main titles aren't represented. I mean, I'm all for, and let me put this out there, because I'm all for the women main eventing one night, which could be the first night. Bayley and Io, that could be a great main event. But I feel like they're going to want both of their main titles represented on their biggest show of the year, even if it is, you know, a modge podge of McIntyre versus a very limited CM Punk, or a very limited Rollins against a limited CM Punk. Even if it's a distraction that leads to a cash in, maybe for Damian Priest, who knows? I mean, they have some things to do, because Damian Priest really hasn't done shit with his cash in, except for almost cash in a few times, and now he's tag champ. So, I mean, what are we going to do? Kind of weird. And I don't know, man. I feel
really painting themselves into a hole with the fucking Judgment Day.
Yeah, they are.
You know, like they painted themselves into this big fucking, okay, like you just said, the tag team belts on Finn and Priest. Really? That should be fucking Dom and fucking, you know, Big Head McGillicuddy. Like those two fucking goofs should be the tag team champs. You know, Rhea, like, she's in, but she's also kind of not in, because she's in when she's with the group, but then when she's by herself, everybody fucking loves her. So whether she's a fucking heel or not. And then to add this whole fucking goofy comedy bit to it, now you took, like, oh, your big bad faction in the WWE and turned them into a fucking sideshow. And now you got to fucking reverse all that and get out of it. Like, it was a fucking terrible idea to have fucking Truth do this whole stupid thing with Judgment Day.
God damn, stuff was funny.
There was some of the stuff that was funny. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. But terrible. Terrible to do to the Judgment Day group as a whole when they're supposed to be your badass fucking faction in the WWE. They're a bunch of fucking clowns at this point. Like,
kind of killed their badass momentum.
It totally fucking killed.
They tried getting it back this week when they got rid of Truth. They took care. But it's
already been damaged.
The damage is done. Like, you can't fucking unring that bell. That's, you're fucked, man.
Like, they made Prison Dom, which for all, you know, purposes shouldn't have worked as well as it fucking did. Prison Dom, I don't think should have fucking got close to as well as it's been working. But they made that work.
They did.
But yeah. The R-Truth thing, there's no way.
R-Truth.
It'd be better if it was bad comedy. If it were bad comedy and, like, stupid, shitty comedy, the fact that they used Truth and, you know, Truth's been the funniest motherfucker in pro wrestling for the past 20 years. But you know what I really want, though? One way to save this. Yo, bring me back fucking 2011, 2012, Miz and Truth getting fucking arrested and shit, like hardcore shit. Give me that. like this flips the switch, and now Truth isn't funny anymore. And now he's back to doing some serious stupid shit. And now you got Miz and Truth, like, fucking going out there assaulting people, getting arrested by the cops in the middle of the fucking ring. Oh, give me that shit.
They did do a little awesome Truth in the Rumble.
Yeah, they teased it.
They teased. I mean, maybe they ain't doing shit. Might as well.
Speaking of R-Truth in the Rumble, I believe he's the first person to get thrown out of both the men's Rumble and women's Rumble in the same night.
He never got into the women's. They wouldn't let him.
Did.
He got into the ring?
Yeah, and I think Nia Jax threw him out.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he technically wasn't eliminated because he was not in it, but
he was never.
He did get eliminated from the Women's Rumble.
And then R-Truth also making history with the first hot tag in WrestleMania history.
That shit was fucking funny.
That was great.
I was dying. It's like when he showed up. What did he show up? What match did he show up with the fucking ladder?
It was a rumble match.
Like he's in the rumble. He gets the ladder. He's like, "Where's the title?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "How do you fucking top that?" Yo, you get your guy in the corner, and you're like, "Yo, hot tag me, bro!" Like,
and the crowd ate it up.
The crowd pumped up that hot tag like a motherfucker.
Yep.
Like, what are they gonna do next year? Bring one of the fucking Elimination Chamber pods out and let him stand in it until they call his number. Dude, that would be amazing. Just out there at shown in the corner waiting in his pod. All of a sudden he's like number 18 and just hear the buzzer and like the fucking pod door just flashes on him and the pod door opens. Oh my God. Just keep it going. Just give me fucking shitty gimmick matches that aren't the Rumble every time. It's like the new Kofi. He's the new Kofi.
It is the new Kofi.
Yeah,
because Kofi can't do it anymore.
Yeah, no.
What the fuck else can he do? I wouldn't say he can't do it anymore, but it's just like
what could you do that he hasn't done?
Yeah, he's done everything. No, so if the shit gets wilder, like it gets way more wild. Like, what are you gonna do to fucking top it? Like, you're just trying to do impossible shit at this point, I've already done that. No, come on, man. Kofi's the fucking Rumble goat for avoiding elimination.
Oh shit, man. You know what? That's true. I'm gonna let Kofi make it. I don't like the new gear. I miss the New Day as a whole. But Kofi kills it, dude.
New Day hasn't been the same since Big E broke his neck.
Although my joke about Kofi on Monday night in the group chat was pretty good.
Please share with everybody. Yeah.
I think when Kofi came out for the Intercontinental match, I just didn't even comment on the match. I just wrote, if Kofi's nipples get any further apart, they're going to be on his back. I stand by that fact.
Look, I felt so bad for Kofi because when he took a chop from Gunther, I'm like, you already broke one of his pec muscles. You're going to do the other one?
Dude, yeah.
Dude's a beast.
It's fucking terrifying, the sound. The sound that he generates off of fucking another man's chest. Just Jesus Christ.
So how would you book Gunther going into the Mania? Because, I mean, I don't want him to lose his title, man. I really don't.
Man, I don't want him to either now at this point. Because I don't think there's anybody worth... There's nobody worthy of breaking that fucking reign, number one. Nope.
Of the working man's title, not a damn chance, dude. Yeah,
there's only one person right now that's out there that I think has a shot, and I think I mentioned it on our live show from Copeland's Bar and Grill. Which, by the way, shout out to Copeland's Bar and Grill for hosting us Saturday night. Josh and the team, another great, great food, great service. Yes, I tipped the server and I took care of the last time.
Fucking time.
I'm squared away now.
Thank you, Dennis. Stuff.
Yeah.
They weren't going to ask us back because you kept stiffing people.
Oh, shut up. But it was, but going back to Gunther, I think the only thing I thought he was going to do, and I talked about it when we had our previous show a couple episodes ago with Josh, was that he was going to, Brock was going to be the mystery guy, and then he was going to start something with Gunther. And I mean, God knows, we may never see Brock again with all this stuff coming out. And yeah,
we're not going to see Brock again, dude. They've pulled him from the game. They pulled him from the game. Yeah, he's getting the Benoit treatment. So put it this way to you all, video gamers out there, because I know you guys know it's the 40th anniversary of Mania. That's what the game is being focused on too. That means we are not getting Brock versus Taker at Mania, because that's been taken off. We're not getting Brock versus Kurt Angle, because that's been taken off. So yeah, they're removing him from the game.
Look, I mean, I don't disagree with it, because you got to distance yourself from that shit as much as you possibly can if you're going to keep your company moving forward. Number yeah. two is Ari Emanuel is a motherfucker. Like, this whole thing we're talking about Vince McMahon, when it comes to fucking absolute fucking destroyer of worlds in the business world, Ari's a motherfucker. And if you think for 2 seconds Ari's not going to go, he does not give two fucks about going scorched earth on Brock Lesnar, fucking Johnny Ace, any other motherfucker that had anything to do. He'll fucking clean house in the WWE if anybody who he finds out has any knowledge of what happened. He will fucking run rampant the hallways, and it's just going to be blood-filled, you know, absolute fucking heads on the chopping block kind of day. Yeah. So, does it suck at a gameplay standpoint? Yeah, but hey, man, we don't think in the terms of billions of dollars with a B. Like, I don't personally.
Billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. Billions okay. of dollars.
You're fucking, you're an idiot. We don't think in that way because we don't make that kind of money. We don't deal in that kind of business and those kinds of transactions. These motherfuckers do. And when you're jeopardizing the fate of a multi-billion dollar deal
mm-hmm.
and company in a multi-billion dollar industry, yeah, you don't fuck around, dude. So if that means, you know, you don't get to sit at home and jerk off to fucking Brock Lesnar shooting star pressing onto his fucking face against Kurt Angle, oh well. I guess that's just the way it be. Sorry.
I mean, it's and oh god, this is gonna be controversial. I hate bringing them up almost every other show. But I understood with Chris.
Kevin Sullivan did it.
You know, I've seen that starting to come back up again, especially allegedly. Since he's allegedly, yeah, because he's doing like a lot of fucking virtuals and meet and greets and conventions. There have been people going up to him talking about, tell us the truth about Benoit. But anyway, Jesus Christ. my point being, okay. When they did this to Chris, yes, there were matches that he had that were, you know, fairly good matches. Him winning the title at Mania, that's history, but at least it's just Chris history, right? It's not it wasn't like a real, real big deal outside of his own personal achievements kind of thing. Brock beating the streak is not just Brock history. That's WrestleMania history. Yep. And that's where my issue comes with it. I know they want to distance themselves from Brock, but that's such a major part of history. I don't know how you take out, you know, the streak being broken. So is Taker now get that win back? I mean, what are we what are we gonna do?
No, he gets an asterisk.
It's an asterisk, yeah.
The only person that beat him now is Roman. I don't think it's going to be that far, to be honest with you, because the real linchpin to all this stuff is Vince McMahon when he comes down to it. I hate to say this, but if anybody read John Laurinaitis' fucking statement from his lawyer.
Oh, my God.
Dude, he played Johnny Not It.
Yeah, but at the same time, I hate to say it, but he made a great fucking point.
You believe it?
All right, let me ask you this. I'm not condoning his scumbag behavior. I'm not condoning if anything that is said that he was part of is true, because obviously, you know, there is the morality right of what you should and shouldn't do here. But your entire fucking life and career is in the hands of one person who is leading you down this path.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fucking moral dilemma. What do you do? Mm-hmm.
And should you suffer consequences of shit? Absolutely. It does not excuse it. But at the same time, you can't paint him as the entire villain in this scenario. You know, his lawyer brought up a really fucking great argument and great point saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. My guy here, he's a victim of this too. Because in case nobody noticed, the fucking billionaire owner who was his direct supervisor and boss was pushing this shit.
Right.
And you can make that same argument for Brock Lesnar. I'm not saying I condone it. I'm not saying anything that is allegedly out there is a good thing, because it's not. But I am saying in that employer-employee universe, that's a good fucking point there.
Yeah,
kind of a good point. True. So I don't think we go as far as the Benoit treatment completely, but for sure right now, until this kind of gets settled some and goes away, because all this is brand new. Yeah, you're definitely not going to see Brock for the foreseeable years in the future here.
Right.
Yeah, and he could have been like a great like piece of the, you know, or part of the, you know, game or whatever for Gunther, because I mean, I think Gunther had he wrestled Brock at Mania, which I believe was the plan, and actually won. I mean, imagine how big of a deal that is. I mean,
it's a rub.
It is, you know, and stuff. And it's just kind of a shame, you know, because, yeah, what do you do with Gunther now?
There's no one else that can give Gunther a rub.
I feel bad, actually, in that scenario for Gunther, because that is it. That is the big crowning rub, you know. And, you know, Brock's made it known. If he likes a guy, he fucking works for him, man.
He'll do business.
He'll do business. He'll sell his ass off. He'll do whatever it takes, you know. And they had this set up perfect for Gunther to be the guy.
Yep.
You want to solidify him as being the fucking a main event player? Go over Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, whether it's for the Intercontinental title or not.
Yep.
Like, dude, that puts you in a whole new fucking stratosphere. So I feel for the guy, because there is quite literally nobody else on the roster that can match that kind of star, with the exception of maybe somebody returning for a night or a few weeks.
Ooh. Ooh. What do you got? What are you cooking?
See that. Well, I mean, look, I know the writer strike's over. And I know we're probably going to end up starting to film season 2 of Peacemaker soon, but man, if you could book out Super Cena for a few weeks, give him a couple Friday nights, a couple Mondays or whatever, and have him come to town.
Give us a good old Rocky versus Drago situation.
Yeah, man. Give me Cena. He's still got enough in the tank to go take a world-class ass whooping, but still like, oh, Cena might win this because it's fucking Cena. Yeah. And then Gunther go over. I mean, it's not going to be the same, but
it's still a rub.
It's in that fucking ballpark.
That's probably That's probably about the closest you can get at this point.
Hell yeah.
Brock could have done.
Yeah. How's my fantasy booking skills? Huh? Huh?
I like it. You know what? You're one crack rock away from Tony Khan. That was pretty good.
I am, man. I'm writing this on a fucking brown paper bag too. Fucking writing to keep it in my back pocket.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
Right next to the Coke. No. Tony Khan and I do not have the same drug dealer. Are you out of your mind?
Of course not. Wink. He's not calling you when he gets to Philly.
No, he's just fiending at the front door. No, I just don't see anybody else on the roster that obviously would be booked elsewhere too. That's the other thing. You know, all your top guys are elsewhere.
Yeah.
Unless the one on the roster. We swerve everybody. Cody takes Seth, which I think would be the better match anyway.
God, and Seth made it seem like it, didn't he?
He sold me on it too. But also, he didn't have to, because I've seen that match a couple times and it's pretty fucking good. All right.
Yeah.
So, But that leaves Roman without anybody. And do we waste the whole Rock situation for the title? I think still think that makes no sense. I've said it before. That's a head of the table type deal. Title shouldn't be involved in it. But what if Gunther's the guy who's like, you know what? Fuck it.
He can go one for one, dude. You trying to keep off.
Oh, you got a story too. You got the fucking, you got two factions.
Yeah.
You know,
Imperium and the Bloodline.
Yeah, you got the Bloodline. You got Imperium. So you got your underlings. Yeah, is it heel versus heel? But obviously, everybody's going to move to make Gunther the babyface in this situation. Yeah. But I mean, that's the only scenario on the main roster that I see Gunther really having a successful WrestleMania.
Yeah, dude, I see it. I like it because even there, and if you guys listen to the show, we've been a big proponent of maybe growing the Bloodline. You tell me Gunther loses because of a debuting Zilla Fatu or a debuting Jacob Fatu. Yeah. It brings in more people to the Bloodline. I'm down.
Yeah. Which continues the Bloodline story. Now you go to The Rock, all that stuff. I mean,
keep yourself open for The Rock and the whole head of the table bullshit. Mm-hmm.
It could be big money. And I think you want to get people behind Gunther without Brock Lesnar right now. Roman, Cena. I mean, we're talking about like the top of the top, though.
That's pretty cool money.
I should be making a lot of fucking money. I would let Vince McMahon shit on my chest right now. Allegedly shit on my chest if we get to book this out.
That's good shit.
Oh, God. I hope he wasn't saying that.
I just make him call me pal all the time.
All right, pal.
It's my pet name.
Pal.
Tony.
And like, look,
don't sneeze in his presence.
Be like, look, Vince, I got like three good Mania matches. All right, my safe word's pineapple, but here's what it is. And then you just go, like, I mean,
Vince Russo did for a good while.
It sounds like, well, Vince Russo is the fucking just the fucking chimp at the zoo who shits in his hand and throws it at people all the time. Like, yeah. He's a piece of garbage. Like, what a fucking absolute twat.
Now, speaking of someone who's not a piece of garbge, shout out to Silver Wolf, who is not with us tonight. We love you,
Sean. That is the worst fucking segue I've ever heard in my life. Speaking of somebody who's not a piece of garbage, after I literally just compared him to a chimp shitting in his hand and throwing it at people. Good God.
That sucks because I was going to double down with Cornette and you go and bring Silver Wolf into this. Oh, well, Silver Wolf loves him some Cornette. And there's one thing that I love more than anything, gentlemen, and that's old school pettiness. And Jim Cornette saying that he was going to live longer and go on a diet so he can piss on Russo's grave. That's all you need to know.
And you know what? Fucking way to go, Corny. You bad motherfucker, you. Because he'll do it.
You ever listen
to a show? You ever listen to the drive-through or the fucking experience? Because goddamn it, when he talks about, he's like, I took my dog out for its Russo. Like, and it's just seamless. It's just seamless. Like he fucking hates that man with the fire of 1,000 suns.
Well, it's because he's what killed wrestling.
It's so fucking great. I mean, yeah, Russo really did kind of kill the business. In the aspect of what the business was, I don't disagree, but goddamn, man, Jim Cornette, between Vince Russo and the fucking Dairy Queen drive-thru bitch, I don't know. I don't know who's the bigger villain in his fucking story. Fucking A, man. It's so fucking funny.
Oh, shit, dude. Oh, Vince Russo, if you're ever listening, we would love to host a one-on-one mediation with you and Cornette. Be great.
Oh my God, that would be awesome.
Can't do it. I'm team Corny all the way, man.
Me too. I just want to hear it.
I'll bring the popcorn.
I'd be like that dickhead though. Like, you know, when like certain people are around like British people and they start speaking with the accent because they're fucking just assholes like that.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, thank you, fuck you, bye. Like all the time. Like, just do, I couldn't help myself from doing a Cornette impression at all. Oh my God. It'd be so awful. I have to be muted the whole fucking time.
I'm gonna say this. Cornette, for, you know, as much as he's done for the business, and you need a side shoot on Cornette, I guess. But God, he hates Tony Khan. I think he's getting up there with Vince Russo, because fucking A. Even when the guys are putting on a good match and it's something that he's liking, he'll end it with, and here comes this bullshit, flippity floppity, fucking fake finish, bullshit, overworked match. And you're just sitting there like, oh, you just liked it 5 seconds ago, man.
Yeah, Cornette fucking hates AEW so much, man. So much. But here's the thing, though. Cornette does have, if you really listen to it, get past it. Get past, like, oh, he's going to make fun of it. He hates the Bucks. He hates Kenny. And he hates their style. He hates all their bullshit. Get past all that. Listen to him break these matches down. He ain't fucking wrong.
No.
Yeah. He's not fucking wrong. This is what happens when you let the fucking inmates run the asylum. And he talks about the outlaw mud show shit. And it's the fucking truth. Because, you know, he's talking about guys not selling. He's talking about the fucking camera angles that are dog shit. He's talking about shit that just doesn't make any sense in a storyline. And, you know, when you watch it, you start to go, well, God damn, man. I know he's a bitter fuck about modern wrestling, but he's not fucking wrong, man. Like,
he's not in a lot of what he says.
I mean, I've watched a lot of AEW, and he's fucking spot on, and it's starting to become the shit that I don't like about AEW. Just because I'm watching it going, man, this kind of fucking stinks. This fucking stinks.
You shouldn't have a match go on where two guys are really giving you a great match. They're you know, mat wrestling is great. Technical aspect is great. Big moves are hitting and it's looking clean. And it ends in a roll-up. Yeah. Or it ends on some fucking, you know, bullshit. Somebody comes out, fucked up finish. You shouldn't have these guys work that hard to give you a fucked finish. And that's what Cornette hates. He hates fucked finishes.
Well, and you know, this, and now AEW is reaching its straws, right? Because we're talking about going back to the fucking, you know, sports based and fucking rankings matter shit, right?
Rankings are back.
Rankings are back, which is total garbage to start with. I'm not a fan of the rankings. It's the same thing as when we're talking about fucking play pretend people. Acting. It's like, who's better? You know, Brad Pitt or George Clooney? Who's better? Yes. You know, like, it's like, come on. It's what they're booked in to do. It's what their storylines are doing. There's a lot of great talent out there that is amazing, but they're not booked for anything. They're in shitty storylines, or they're not fucking getting a push like, you know, some of these other people are. I don't believe these rankings are fucking dog shit. And we're going back to that now because they got away from it. And it's just not going to work. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think for Tony, the rankings are just his way of saying, well, this person, even though some of these wins are bullshit wins, they've racked up like 5 wins. So I've got a new title contender. And you can't complain about it because it's not like hindering the gender. This guy actually earned it. When in reality, it's bullshit because the guy may have won all those matches on fucking Dark, Elevation, whatever the fuck their secondary shows are Saturday night.
You're good. The only time I ever really saw rankings that actually worked for me was like when WCW did them in like the early 90s, like late 80s, early 90s.
And WCW, though, did it right, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it was that mix of popularity with record, and it was, you know, their top guys were the guys getting pushed. Because honestly, if you go to a ranking based system, here's your number one and number two all the time.
Yeah,
John Moxley, Orange Cassidy.
Oh, yeah, They're the most popular.
They're popular, and they fucking win like 90% of their matches.
Yeah.
So when you're booking that way and then say the rankings matter, like, no, the fuck they don't, because it's the same dudes winning all the time. It's the same guys always getting pushed. So they're always going to be number one and number two. And the only time they're going to lose is to each other, which doesn't make any fucking sense.
What's how you clear out the, you know, wins as losses? Somebody has to lose to each other, which is probably going to be Orange Cassidy, because Mox loses maybe once a calendar year.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. Yeah, he's good for fucking, you know, wearing the back of his boots out, like, yeah. Once, maybe twice a year, maybe.
He's getting into Super Cena territory.
I just think we're at the point now where, with AEW, where we're just going to start grasping at straws. You know, we really are, and I don't see it being the rankings beneficial
aren't helping.
No, they're not. I mean, a lot of fans are past the point of, oh, what's the next big surprise? You know what? There's not a lot more out there.
Speaking of which, Tony Khan's supposed to make a big announcement this upcoming week on Dynamite.
Dude, he made a big announcement every other week all of 2023. Yes, like, what is. The fuck is...
He's bringing the big cares? Announcements back.
Who cares?
I think this one might be Monet, though, because there's rumors that she's ready to come out.
Good luck to her. I mean, look, you're going to a dog shit women's division.
That's true. Good luck.
And it's not saying that, like, there's a bad talent there. I mean,
it's just the fucking way it's looked.
Chris Statlander, fucking hate to say it, but Tony Storm with the timeless Tony Storm gimmick is great right now. But you got talent. You got, like, fucking Ruby. You got does anybody know where the fuck Britt Baker's at? Is she alive? Is she okay?
She's probably doing the dentist thing right now.
Has she been hurt? I haven't even heard anything.
No, she hasn't. I don't think there's been a peep. Basically, I think the last time anyone heard anything from her was, I think it was right around the time Adam Cole broke his ankle, or even before.
No,
that.
The last time anybody heard anything her when she was complaining about the booking on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh yeah. While the show was on.
Yeah, yep. That's when the last thing you heard of her, but. It's not for that. There's a lot. I mean, you got fucking Ty Valkyrie. You got Deonna Purrazzo now. You have some really great, talented women.
They do.
But it doesn't matter when you don't know how to book them, use them, or showcase them. Sure. You're still concerned about having a fucking 5'1", you know, 85-pound girl who's like, that's our first AEW women's champ. Like, that child, that little child was the champion.
Oh, God. My grandfather hated Riho as champ. He could not. He was like, how the hell is she going to beat somebody? She's, what, 100 pounds soaking wet? Well, like, I don't know, dude.
It is. It's bad. But, you know, it's, I mean, and so what? Mercedes going to go there. Oh, my God. Right to the top. What, they're going to put the title on her right away? Okay, cool. And then what? In a year, she's not going to be doing shit. She's going to be the second match on a random Wednesday night Dynamite defending her title against fucking
Sky Blue.
Yeah. Like, okay, cool. I hope they paid her a lot for it. I really do. I hope they pay. Well, which they will.
Which they will. Yeah. He'll bring out the money.
Yeah. Well, fucking who cares, man?
Well, talking about AEW big time announcements and bullshit. Rumor mill. They pulled all of Kazuchika Okada's shirts from Pro Wrestling Tees. Thoughts being is he might be signing somewhere, and they had to pull him. So, question is, where is he going to go? Are we going to the E? Or are we going to AEW?
I still think, well, first off, Ryan Barkin, who, you know, is the owner and CEO of Pro Wrestling Tees, has come out and said it was New Japan that made the call for them to pull the merch because he is no longer officially a New Japan contracted talent. He's got like a couple shows he's going to do and stuff. I mean, that could be just cover. We don't, you know, you sometimes it is and stuff. Honestly, I still, and I said this before, and I'll keep saying it. I think he should go to TNA, back to TNA, because the era of which he was before, you know, with the whole Okado or whatever they called him when he was basically like Kato from and stuff, they're all gone. I mean, he was on the show, I believe, last week, and
yep,
you know, from all accounts, you know, seemed pretty content with the appearance and stuff. And I mean, I feel like if he goes to the WWE, he's gonna go. It's gonna be another, I think, Shinsuke Nakamura scenario, because I mean, Nakamura came in with all this fanfare, and once he got called to the main roster, he just, you know,
Nakamura went downhill when they stopped calling him the King of Strong Style. When they made him the Artist, that killed Nakamura.
Yeah, but I mean, who's to say they wouldn't do something like, I mean, again, you know, different regime and stuff. You know, this is not, you know, Triple H. This isn't Vince, you know, the Vince, you know, thing anymore. So, I mean, there could be a chance, but I feel like, I think if he really wants a chance, he wants to be able to continue being himself and who he is, I think TNA is going to be the best option for him. But I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes to the WWE. I don't see him in AEW though.
Jody?
I think he'd be stupid if he goes to AEW. That's the truth. I mean, it is. Like, you're gonna be a fucking look. Go call Kota Ibushi. See how it's going for him. Okay. Call Jay White. See how it's going for him. Yeah, does he have a lot of money? Sure. I'm sure he's well taken care of. I'm sure Kota's well taken care of. And I know they're going to back the fucking truck up for Okada if they can. But the truth is, does he want to just make money, or does he want to be a star in the United States? And honestly, if he wants to be a star in the United States, God forgive me for this, but I have to agree with DDJ.
Yes.
Whoa. Because there's a very specific reason. He can be the new face of TNA.
Yeah.
Okay. He's going to be a huge star coming into TNA. He can be absolutely the top guy in that company. And the other thing, and the reason I agree with it now, is because of the Royal Rumble. I think the WWE is very, very, very open now to working with TNA. And if Okada wants to have his WrestleMania moment, like it's been talked about and he has said something along those lines before, that's his best option.
Yeah.
Because he can be brought in the TNA fucking, you know, if he's a TNA champ, he comes in, has a WrestleMania fucking moment, maybe not 40, but maybe 41. And he gets to have that without having to be pigeonholed like, you know, a lot of Mexican, Asian, like anyone other than North American pigeonholed that way. And I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think TNA is in a position right now where they're getting ready to boom. So the money's going to be there. I think the Scott D'Amore booking is probably... that's your fucking booker of the year.
Yep.
You know, easily. Just makes sense. It just makes a lot of fucking sense. You have a lot of flexibility.
Yeah. I hate to, you know, triple down on it, but I really do not want him to go to AEW, because unfortunately AEW, I think what got a lot of people in on it early was the dream matches that were happening. Shit we've never seen before. But when there was no substance to that steak, we got tired of the sizzle. And what we've been saying about TNA for as long as I can remember, maybe 2 years now, TNA is consistently putting on the best show that nobody's watching. You what?
I was going to say, you do that, and by getting Okada, I think that increases the chances that they would get, you know, put on, they get on a better network where more people can see them. But also, yeah, too, that would drive it to subscription for their streaming service, TNA Plus. You know,
that's,
their pay-per-view,
that's the point,
would go up and stuff. Yeah.
That was the point that I was going to make, is you bring in somebody with that legit name and that legit star power, people are going to want to see what's going on. And I think what they've done at their Hard to Kill, which is the first pay-per-view of the relaunch, they made a lot of shakeups. A lot of new champions. A lot of people came in. We've got Mustafa Ali. We've got Nick Nemeth, who came out there. And now you're kind of feeling this traction that, shit, TNA. TNA's going. TNA's got that name recognition. It's not going to take long for people to start realizing, wow, TNA's doing something again.
And that's and you mentioned those names. But you look at the guys that are there. You're looking at guys like Josh Alexander. You know, Jovan's favorite, the TNA world champion, Moose, you know, and I mean, you've got, you know, guys have been around for a while. Chris Sabin, Frankie Kazarian,
Eddie Edwards,
you know, Brian Myers.
They're still the lifeblood of the old school TNA, is still there. Yeah. I mean,
how you just talk about that knockout division.
Yeah, and the knockouts division is the best women's division in all of wrestling. I don't care.
Yeah, and ironically enough, the Royal Rumble helped prove that.
Yeah. Oh, because Jordynne Grace looks like a fucking beast.
Well, look, you could. There's a handful of women in that roster that they could have made look really good, but honestly, Jordynne Grace was the perfect choice to go into the Rumble. One, number two. They let her do her fucking thing.
Yep.
And goddamn. Like, yo, when you're fucking called off the bench and it's like, oh shit, we're down by four. I'm coming in off the bench. That was Jordynne Grace coming in going, all right, let me go show them what we got down here. And
let me tell you this. If you listen to Jordynne Grace talk about when she got the call from Scott D'Amore that she was going to be in the Rumble, it makes me love her even more, because she said that Scott told her, hey, what do you think about going to the Rumble? And Jordynne Grace is like, oh, wow, they called. And he goes, no, I want you to jump the fence. I want you to jump the gate and go into the Rumble. And she said she was 110% down until he told her, like, no, I'm joking. They called. You're going to get into the Rumble if you want to get in the Rumble. Dude, I mean, if Jordynne Grace hops the fence, who's going to stop her?
Dude, no. Good luck, no, bro. That's a strong fucking girl, man. I've seen some of those security guards they got working.
No. Yeah,
you better send a few of them, dog, because you're going to have some trouble. But how fucking reminiscent is that of, like, the ECW guys at Monday Night Raw in the 90s?
Yep.
Like, just like, oh, we're going to do this? Fuck it. Let's do it. You know, if Scott D'Amore has got people in TNA going, okay, I'll do some wild illegal shit. Let's go.
Like, I'm fucking down.
They're all drinking that fucking Kool-Aid down there, and it's only gonna get better. That's all I'm saying, man. It's only gonna fucking get better. And if they pull off and sign Okada, holy shit.
Yeah.
That changes the entire landscape of pro wrestling in the United States.
Yeah. And I mean, they're already working with AAA, right? They've reaffirmed their contract with AAA.
They've done stuff with New Japan.
They've had a working with New Japan for a while, and WWE now back-to-back years has done something with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. You want to talk about who's really making moves, man? I know everybody fucking loves sucking Tony Khan off about it, but the truth of the matter is, yo, Scott D'Amore's the real motherfucker out there.
Yeah.
He's the real dude pulling the fucking strings and saying, yeah, we'll fucking work, bro.
Gotta love me some Scott D'Amore.
He got the WWE to make a talent 2 years in a row to make talent signed to his roster look like $1 million.
With
two
the
fucking years in a row. Like, who the fuck else has pulled that off? Because anytime WWE has worked with anybody in the past, their guys have to be the top guys.
Yep.
And one of the things that I really loved about Jordynne Grace's appearance was how the, because I went back and watched the Rumble match, you know, the women's Rumble match a couple of days later. And I loved how when she came out and she had the face off with Naomi, they referenced their history and the fact, because I mean, it was literally, and I think we talked about this on the live show 2 weeks ago, these two were fighting for the Knockouts title at Hard to Kill. Now they're both in the Royal Rumble match, and it's being acknowledged by the commentary team on, you know, on the show, and they have their little embrace, and then they just went at it and picked up right where they left off after that. And it wasn't like, wait, why did these two not like each other? No, they acknowledged, hey, these two just recently, you know, and they acknowledged Naomi as a former TNA Knockouts champion as well, too, which is something you never hear.
We live in a different fucking world now.
Yep.
We live in a very fucking different world right now. And honestly, the only person who's really fucking it up, in my opinion, is Tony Khan.
Tony Khan.
Like, let's be real. Let's be real. If TNA pulls off a working relationship with WWE, New Japan, and AAA, sorry, man. You're fucked.
And while Tony Khan's there with his CMLL contract, which anybody who does watch Lucha Libre knows CMLL is like the little promotion in Mexico. AAA is the big dog.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it could depend on where you're from, but I mean, most of the time people are going to look at AAA as being the big dogs.
You're right. You're 100% right. And I said, oh my God, we're going to talk about the CMLL thing with Mox from last night.
We can if you want to hit on it briefly. I mean,
all I'm going to say is, what the fuck? Why? Yeah. You took your fucking top star in your company
that hardly ever loses,
get beat down by three dudes from CMLL that if you don't even know, like a lot of people don't even know what they are.
Right.
The only one I think I recognize was Mystico.
I'm not even talking about individual talent yet. I'm just talking about nobody knows who the fuck's on CMLL's roster. One. Number two. Yeah. Okay. Am I shocked that Dennis recognized somebody right away? No. But you're going to tell me your fucking average fan was like, yo, what did Mox do to piss off the fucking Mexican community, bro? like that's all. Like that's what most people probably thought about that. Like what the fuck?
Well, once again, it goes back to the fact that Tony Khan's only catering to the hardcore crowd, and
not even hardcore with that one though, buddy. That's eclectic.
But see, that's one of the biggest problems AEW has is they're too focused on the hardcore crowd. They won't grow their product until they start catering to the casual fan. And it just seems like it's more and more. It's not going to happen. It's going to be a niche organization.
Feels like it's going to have PWG vibes. If you know what PWG is, you're fucking pumped about it every time it comes on. If you don't know, you're like, oh, that's stupid shit anyway.
I wouldn't even say it has PWG vibes, dude. It just has... It has just like, I have a lot of money, so I can watch the wrestling that I want to watch personally. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody else will love it. And we're realizing that not everybody else loves watching Tony Khan play with his action figures in his mom's basement. Like, I don't, like, that's the vibe it is now. It's like, you're I'm going to sign wrong. Somebody. Yeah. Like, he's got a fucking, like, oh, I want this action figure, and I want this one, and I want this one.
And I'm going to go down the basement. Chase variant.
Yeah, like, that's what it's turned into, and it's like, ooh, it's kind of cringy.
I mean, most of the shit tired of watching it.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The fucked up part is there's so much good talent on that show.
Yep.
There's guys like fucking Swerve, you know. I know I've been so up and down on Hangman, especially like I think Hangman can work, but I can't look at him and go like, oh, you know, he's the shits. He still works really great, but like they've been getting better shit out of him. I love that Samoa Joe is the champ. I love seeing Samoa Joe in a suit with holding the title. Like, yo, now you got to earn the right to challenge me. I love that shit. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's backfilled with just stupidity.
Here's the issue, though. Because you just said that. Honestly, the hand on the Bible, I'm telling 100% the truth. If you would have asked me who the champion was for AEW before you said it, I would have had a hard time remembering that Joe was the champ.
It's kind of like what I go back, I've said in the past before, too. It seems like, you know, about 5 years ago when AEW first started, like, the roles were reversed. Like, WWE was doing all the stuff that we're talking about AEW's doing right now, and vice versa. It's like I said, the whole Freaky Friday thing, it's like they've switched bodies, and it's just because WWE's on top of the world, everybody loves it and stuff, and then just AEW, you know, that just seems to have these problems. Like, it seems like Tony Khan's playing, you know, booking the show for himself, like, you know, in term, you know, like you said, playing with the action figures and stuff. And it's crazy because I don't, 5 years ago, I would have never thought that this would have happened, that like we'd see such a drastic change in perception for both of those companies.
Joey, I don't want to end on Freaky Friday, man. Give me something good.
Oh, what are you talking about?
I mean, look, AEW came blasting through the front door with all the hopes and dreams of wrestling fans, because I think a lot at the time, 5 years ago, a lot of people were tired of the same old WWE bullshit. Yep. They were tired of McMahon in charge. They were tired of one guy writing a fucking show, writing hours of fucking, you know, wrestling programming for a week just to entertain himself, right? So in comes Tony Khan with Cody and the Bucks and Kenny. We got a plan. We're going to make this happen. And somewhere along the line, they just turned into something completely different. And now, 5 years later, we've reversed the roles of McMahon's gone, probably never to be seen again. Okay. You have, in my opinion, probably some of the best shit happening that I've seen happen in WWE in, I don't know, 14 years.
Yeah.
13, 14, 15 years, maybe. I mean, we just put over fucking Drew. I put over Drew McIntyre, somebody who I shit on so ridiculously over the past 2 years. And I just put him over because of the work he just did with Punk, the work he was, you know, the promo stuff he's done with Sammy and Seth and all these guys. Okay. Did we even talk about we didn't even barely scrape the surface of Cody and Seth and their fucking promo. I know we talked before about the Punk and, you know, Seth promo and then the Punk and Cody promos were like all the shit that's like really relevant right now today is all coming out of WWE, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
They're dominating what's good.
Tell me a better faction than the Judgment Day right now in AEW. Give me a better faction in AEW that's doing better work than the Judgment Day right now.
Can't.
Not that's doing better work. There's one that might be as popular, but not that's doing better work.
Correct. You know, you tell me somebody's a bigger star than Rhea Ripley right now in women's professional wrestling.
She's the top.
Yeah. She's fucking top tier. Tell me that anybody has outworked Seth Rollins in the past 365 days as a champ in any other company.
That's not in WWE. I can't. The only other person is Gunther.
I was just going to say that exact same thing.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. The next one on that list is another WWE guy. Like, when you go apples to apples and really, like, weigh it out, you're like, holy shit. Now, did I love MJF as champ? I love MJF doing a lot of promo work, but it got a little hacky. It got a little fucking, the fucking kangaroo fucking kick and the bullshit. The bullshit with Adam Cole. Yeah, the bullshit with that. Adam Cole, like, that got real fucking hacky and hokey. I wasn't a big fan of that stuff. Yeah. I like MJF when he's like, fire me, motherfucker. That's the MJF I wanted.
Yep.
But we weren't even getting that from Tony or anything. It's a fucking dude. The E is having a fucking ball right now.
I'll put it this way, because even though, you know, AEW's thing is we used to be able to say, man, this guy here looks like he's going to be a star. We said that about Swerve a couple years back, and he's now coming into it. We were able to say that about some guys on AEW that we hadn't seen before. We're like, man, these guys are going to be something. These guys are going to be big-time players in the game. MJF, like I said, Swerve. We thought about Sammy Guevara. You know, things happen there. Thought the same thing about Darby. Things happen there. But
Private Party.
Private Party, yeah. When they had the first big win against the Bucks, we thought they were going to be big shit. But that's the thing is, right now I can't even look at that roster and tell you who's that next guy in AEW.
You can't. You fucking can't.
I could look at WWE right now and tell you in the next 5 years from now, Trick Williams is the future of that company.
Whoop that Trick.
If you watch NXT, Whoop That Trick. He is so fucking over.
Dude, I'm honestly shocked we're talking NXT.
Just a bit, just a little bit before we leave.
But you mentioned how over Trick was. Did you see the pop he got when he showed up on SmackDown?
Yeah. I didn't expect that. I didn't think the SmackDown crowd would react like that, but they popped.
And as big as Carmelo Hayes was on NXT, like I don't think anyone ever thought Trick would not only like catch up to him, but just blow him, just like leave him laying in the dust, you know. And
he eclipsed him real bad. And I love Melo.
Yeah. And they've got their show, the big premium live event Sunday night. And there's going to be, I think, a lot of interesting developments, you know, because Trick's pulling double duty.
Yep.
And stuff.
That's an old school thing there, dude. Trick Williams is doing two matches in that night, but he's going to do two matches that actually matter. Not like MJF doing the ROH tag team and then the championship.
But yeah, yeah. Man, though, yeah, Trick Williams is fucking over right now.
Not even that, dude. You want to, like, you can keep going on that. Who's your next big monster in the next 5 years in WWE? Braun Breaker, easily. Braun.
Look what he did at the Rumble.
Look at the Rumble. He came in and was instantly accepted in that role.
Oh, he took 110%. The Brock role. Whether that story holds water or not, he fucking made a serious impact and turned a lot of people's heads going, oh shit.
Yeah.
He's legit. Okay. You got so much fucking talent on that roster. And even we don't even have to talk about, because in 5 years, we're still going to have a lot of these guys. We still got a few more years of Finn. We still got a few more years of Sammy. We still got a few more years of KO. We still got a few more years of fucking Damian Priest.
We haven't even gotten Montez to hit
him. Oh, my God. We haven't even fucking touched the surface with Montez yet. I mean, Jesus Christ. The future is super, super bright for people in the WWE. But I can't say the same for AEW.
And that just sucks.
It does.
Dennis.
Yes.
Whatever you're thinking right now, just get it out and we'll end on that.
Actually, no. I just enjoyed the conversation, man. It's a hell of a show.
It's because we actually talk wrestling for once to make you happy. That's why.
Thank you.
Sean wasn't here, so we had to give you a show that you'd like. And that's how we're going to end, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully, you'll see us next week.
Oh my God, you actually played the right video this time.
Fuck off, dude.
Wow.
Legends of the Ring Sting, man. This is a great figure. Old school figure. Looks great. It's Sting! Old school Sting from WCW. Guys, you know us. Three-fourths of the Shooting Shit team. And we're here with a listener just like you guys. This is Jimmy from Super Powers Comics.
My friend of 20 years. Yeah, he's known him since you were 12.
If you know people in Chicago, you probably know Dennis because he knows half the town.
Of course.
But shooters, if you need action figures, comics, wrestling memorabilia, we just showed you Sting. Super Powers Comics. We'll put up their QR code so you can get a good look at everything they have coming. Give it a shot, shooters. Get your superpowers on and get your comments from our friend Jimmy, who listens just like you.
Attention, wrestling fans and fans of Shootin' Shit Podcasts. You can now be one of the cool kids by going to ProWrestlingTees.com and buy the official Shootin' Shit t-shirt. Buy it now and be there at ringside.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@SHOOTINGSHT. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/SHOOTINSHT. Check us out on TikTok at SHOOTINSHIT. And you can buy your official Shootin' Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com/SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.